Glory to God forevermore. Hallelujah. glory to Jesus forever.
Hallelujah.
Let my soul never recover from this hunger for you, Lord. Let this holy journey be holy life. Let my soul never recover from this hunger for you, Lord. Let this holy journey be my only life. Let my soul never recover from this hunger for you, Lord. Let this holy journey be my only life. Let my soul never recover from this hunger for you, Lord. Let this holy journey be my only life. Let my soul never recover from this hunger for you, Lord. Let this holy journey be my only life. Let my soul, let my soul never recover from this hunger for you, Lord. Let this holy journey be my only life. Let my soul,
everyone in the Lord's name.
We can meet to call upon your name every minute and every hour, Lord.
Same progression.
We can meet to not depart from you every minute and every hour. Quicken me to call upon your name every minute and every hour, Lord. Quicken me to not depart from you, to not depart from you
every minute and every hour, Lord.
Every minute and every hour. Continually set us on fire, set us on fire, that we will burn till the very end. Continually set us on fire, set us on fire, that we will burn till the very end.
We ask this evening that you will break your light loose upon us. We ask, oh God, that we are going to morph into a fresh layer of it. We are going to transform into your possibilities. This evening you will help us, and it will be a memorable event in the spirit.
Amen.
Lord, we join this feast. We join this banquet. And we ask, oh God, that we be filled.
Amen.
We ask, oh God, that your reality will be made bare to us.
Amen.
Thank you, precious Lord.
Thank you.
Your name be praised.
Hallelujah.
In Jesus' precious name.
Amen.
Hallelujah. Alright, this evening very quickly we are going to look into a very important subject. I'm trusting God for release for all chances, because I am insufficient on my own. I ask that His grace will unbelieve me. So we are looking at a very, very important subject that I believe is going to spur our propensities, our capacities in the place of kingdom operation, in the place of kingdom operation. All right. And so we have tagged it the architecture of the man in Christ. Architecture of the man in Christ. I didn't just say the architecture of man, but it has to be specific, because if we are going to look at the architecture of man, it's going to broaden our scope, right? Because we have to backtrack and look into the book of Genesis. We're going to look at the framework of Adam. We're going to look at the configuration of Adam, the architecture. All right. We are going to gaze very critically into his makeup before the fall and his makeup after the fall. But I don't think we want to delve into that, because let's just stay within the jurisdiction of the man in Christ. Okay, because if we want to look into Adam, we are going to check a lot of things, even though the state he was before the fall. God expected that the believer will be patterned after some of those states, because he eventually didn't enter into the fullness that God designed. Alright? However, some of the things that he explored, even as a living soul entity, were actually some of the design of God for the believer. Alright? If we are going to look into Adam, Adam never experienced some things before the fall. So the fall brought about a deterioration. Alright? The fall brought about distortion, even cosmic distortion. Alright? I don't want to say something. Alright? There are things that Adam didn't know why he was in Eden. Hallelujah. Do you know, let me just chip in something. I will speak in wisdom. Do you know that if a baby is in the womb for 9 months, that baby does not know what is called oxygen? Are you with me? He doesn't, or she doesn't. anyone. Alright? Until the baby comes out of the womb. That's the very first time that the baby will make contact with oxygen. And that's the reason why baby cry. Are you with me? The reason why they cry is because for the very first time, they are making contact with natural air. So if a baby comes out and the baby is not crying, the baby will have to be beaten. Alright? Because the baby is used to the environment in the womb. You will understand Adam. If you understand that wisdom. Are you with me? I will not speak more than that. Glory to Jesus forevermore.
Hallelujah.
So making contact with the natural air, the baby cries. Because for the very first time, is now receiving oxygen. Is now receiving external factor, external reality. Alright? So there were things Adam never experienced in Eden. You see, they have lied to us that they saw the Garden of Eden. They don't know. They don't know where they saw. Hallelujah. You know, scientists are doing some exploration, some findings and all. And they said, we have seen it. It's in the Middle East. Hallelujah. How can you see a place that is spirit-coded? Alright? It's a realm, a dimension in God. Alright? That's why God could freely gain entrance into Eden without traveling. Are you following me? And a lot do not know that Adam from Eden brings the civilization of God into the earth. Hallelujah. Eden was a place. You see, Eden is like a temple. A temple is where deity and humanity meets. It's a place of fraternity. It's a place of... You see, the reason why a temple was in Israel was because they believed that every time we go into the temple, we are going to meet with deity. Are you following me? So, the temple was like a bridge between divine and the earthly realm. It's like a portal. That's exactly what Eden is. Adam receives influence from heaven. The culture of heaven learns directly from God. And he begins to put it or influence the earth with that economy. Right, so that the earth can be colonized by the possibilities of heaven. But we don't want to look into the architecture of Adam. We want to look into the architecture of the man in Christ. And by architecture, we are referring to the framework, the design, the blueprint of that man, the man in Christ. Are we together? I actually felt that this is very cogent and is also going to bring us into some layers of understanding in our walk with the Lord, in our journey with the Lord. And if we are going to match up with the standard of heaven, all right, we must understand our makeup. We must understand our configuration. Because that's the only way we can function maximally according to pattern, according to the model of heaven. All right? So understanding is very important. Understanding has to be weaved into us so that we'll be able to function in this dominion that God from the beginning designed. So it's important we look into our fabrication, our configuration, and it's going to stem from our model. Like I usually say, we consult our model, right? We consult our model to understand this journey. So let's do Hebrews. Let me share just a few buttons with us in the book of Hebrews. Alright, by this week we are coming back to Acts. It's about Acts for now. Alright, this one is interruption. It's an interruption. Hebrews and chapter 1. Hebrews and chapter 1. Hebrews and chapter 1. Hallelujah. Alright, so we'll begin from verse 1. For context purpose, God, who at sundry times and in diverse manners spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets. Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds, who being the brightness of his glory, and the express image of his person, and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. Verse 4, being made so much, there's an emphasis, being made so much better than the angels, as he had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. Verse 5, for unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. Hallelujah. Alright, I'd like us to wait patiently as we do a bit of anatomy. Alright? We'll do a bit of analysis. We'll break down. Alright. So the Bible began to speak to us about the transformation of things, all right, that things in the new covenant has been morphed, all right, by saying morphed means that it has been transformed, all right, because there was a way that the communications of God came to the patriarchs under the old covenant, all right, and the Bible says to us that in those days in the antiquity, they received the communication from God from diverse manners or through diverse ways and manners, all right? And they received the downloads of God from the prophet, sometimes from the priest, all right? Sometimes through Urim and Tumim, okay? I believe I've thought about that before. Okay, so the Bible says was that in these last days, God has spoken unto us by his Son. By his Son. God has spoken unto us by his Son. Invariably, he's saying to us that in the antiquity, in the ancient time, there was nobody who was God's Son. Are you following? Everywhere is silent. Hallelujah. What he's trying to say to us invariably is that I'm introducing you to the ministry of my Son. Under the old, I spoke to you through diverse ways and diverse manners. All right? But at the same time, the veracity, the truthfulness of those speakings, they can only be vetted in the face of the Son. Because it says to us that in these last days, he has spoken unto us by his son. Alright, so that you can understand the makeup of that son, he began to explain to us, to explicate to us that this son is the express image of God. That means if you are seeing this son, you see, there's an argument. Somebody sent a video to me, alright, and somebody came with a scriptural intelligence that was void of the Holy Ghost. Alright? But the way he came is actually a Muslim. And he began to speak, and the way he was quoting scriptures. For one word, he quoted about 6 or 7 related scriptures. And people were ailing him because this guy has intelligence. I'm telling you, intelligence on the eyesight. And he said to us that there was nowhere in scriptures that Jesus claimed to be God. And you have seen it. And the person who sent it to me, I said, this guy spoke from the place of scriptural intelligence, void of the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? Because there's no way you can make argument with somebody who does not have the Holy Ghost. These things can only be revealed to the person that has the Holy Ghost. Are you following me? The way he explained it, gullible Christians will fall for it. And they can even preach it in church because it was so accurate, so contextual. He was bringing scriptures from Old Testament into the New, and he was quoting about 10 scriptures, 10 verses. And you see, the alien was alarming. Said Jesus didn't claim that he was God. You see, the things of the spirit cannot be understood by those who are carnal. Am I saying, because somebody's questioning that, are you saying the person is carnal? You see, let me tell you something. Your productivity is stemmed from who you are. Are you following me? Your productivity is stemmed from your personality. I didn't want to use rhymes because someone said, are you we like all of those things. If I say your productivity is stemmed from your personality, say, Rema. So that's what I said, from who you are. Hallelujah. So you cannot, there are things that you cannot articulate if you don't have the God life. Are you following me? You know that in apologetics now, a lot of persons are doing apologetics. And it has now become like a platform of debate and argument. Are you following me? And you will see this person brings his own perspective, opinion, idiosyncrasies. Are you following me? And this person brings his. At the end of the day, they don't reach conclusion. That's my problem. Is that the person who tend to reveal Christ, all right, does not eventually arrive at that point. Because the other guy will still go back home with the same orientation that my argument is right. Are you following me? There's nothing wrong with apologetics. I love it so much. Even me, if I have time. Are you me? I love scriptures. But the point is, are we reaching a concrete conclusion? Because everybody will still go back with their own opinion. They are still opinionated. Are you following me? So we the guy was arguing. And I said, this one is not this utterance is not from our civilization. As long as even though he was quoting scriptures, are you mean? Because the Bible is in his hand, his canal. I
Are we together, please? If an apple is carried by, it is carnal in his hand. Are you following me? You know why? Because he will not see light. He brings his opinion into the scriptures. Our scripture is holy. Our scripture is righteous. It is good. But because the bearer has an opinion, the bearer has a standard, the bearer has a configuration, all right, it will never profit him except your heart is open. So 1 Corinthians 12 says, no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit. No man. Are you me? 1 Corinthians 12, 3. No man can say Jesus is Lord. So if you are saying Jesus is Lord, is not your intelligence. Are you following me? You are not here. Anybody can utter it that Jesus is Lord. That's just an utterance from the place of intelligence. Alright, so when the Bible says no man can say Jesus is Lord except by the Spirit, it means that the Spirit would have taken over your spirit. The Spirit would have blanketed your spirit. Alright? And there will be conviction. Conviction will stem out of their fraternity with the Holy Ghost. And it is from that place you can make that utterance that Jesus is Lord. It's not just by making mouth or making noise or uttering a sound. It's that there will be a place inside of you that is called a place of conviction that truly Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. I will emphasize it again and again. Jesus is God. See, that's the gospel. If you do not believe that Jesus is God, that you see, in a lot of songs now, they are afraid to mention Jesus. They would rather say God. Even Christians are afraid. Because they believe that their videos can be flagged. Are you with me? You know, there's AI intelligence now, artificial intelligence going on all over social media space, such that when you upload a content that contradicts some things, it will be flagged. They will take it off. Even on YouTube, they will take it off. It has been programmed into every sphere. So that if you are saying your opinion that is contrary to our opinion, all right, we are going to remove you without your consent. They don't have to consult you. You just noticed that you got back the following day and you couldn't find it. It is because there's a programming system. Hallelujah. I'm saying to you that Jesus is Lord. Jesus is God. Alright? Any believer who is afraid to say that Jesus, because when he was done, he now came to a point and said, the phrase Son of God in scriptures is referring to prophet of God. So Jesus is just one of the prophets of God. Now bringing Jesus and who is that? Muhammad together. Anti-aliens. Glory to Jesus forever. Alright, so God was saying to us that in these last days, I'm speaking to you by the Son. And it does not mean that it's no longer speaking by the prophet. It only means that your prophet or the prophet, they are only accurate to the degree that they speak Christ. Are you following me? They are only accurate to the degree that they reveal Christ. I pray that the Lord will give us grace. Let's do a bit of analysis on the prophetic ministry in the new covenant. I began to see a lot of things very recently in the same act. Hallelujah. He says, in these last days, he has spoken unto us by the Son. And he began to reveal to us the identity of the Son. You know, even the way we have painted the gospel, it makes it look like as though this company of the Godhead are as it were separate beings. Sometimes, you know, we come, we say the Holy Ghost is the power of God. What's that? The Holy Ghost is God. Because when you say the Holy Ghost is the power, we know the Holy Ghost releases dunamis, alright? But you are saying that is a different entity, that is just an agent that God uses to release power. Are you following me? We do not reveal the identity of the Holy Ghost as God. The Holy Ghost is God. He releases power, that's true. But don't just say that it is the power of God. The Holy Ghost is God. I'm sure we are aware that before the creation of all things, before things came into being, there was no separation between this entity. They were inseparable entity. So that God is in himself as Christ, as the Holy Ghost. The language of I am that I am, it means that I am in myself, I commune with myself. So when God says that, come, let us make man in our image, he is not talking to two entities that are with him. No, God was communing with himself. Because we assume that when God says come, so it means that Jesus is standing here, the Holy Ghost is standing here. No, before the creation of all things, you cannot separate them. Are you following me? So he was communing, he was speaking to himself. You see, that, well, if you want to scratch Genesis, that's how we are avoiding some things. So in Genesis chapter, in John 17, you will hear the language of glorify me with the glory which I had with you before the foundations of the world, that they may, that they all may be one in us, even as we are one. I and my Father are one. Hallelujah.
This is a burden.
Can I pursue this burden a little bit? All right. So Jesus, God began to introduce to us the identity of the Son. And so let's quickly see, let's read it again. The identity of the Son in verse 3. The identity of the Son in verse 3. Let's do verse 2 first. The Bible says, "At in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds." Whom he had appointed heir of all things. Are we together? So this Son, the Bible says what? That he is the heir of all things. That means all realms. All is the heir of all realms, all dimensions in God. That's exactly why when Jesus was going on, the Bible said that he went to fill all things. He went to fill all things so that every realm will bear testament to him. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
The way that God designed it is that I was saying to us some time ago that if it's an assumption, it can happen.
Yes.
Let's assume that God dies. Immediately he dies, nobody, nothing in heaven or on earth will exist, because all things consist in him. And you know God I'm talking about? Jesus. All things, all all things. No realm will exist again, because he is the embodiment of all things. He is the embodiment of all realms. That's exactly why his omniscient dimension, omnipresent dimension, is realistic. Are you me? In the place he is everywhere. It's because he went to fill all things, all. So his presence can be registered everywhere. Even though he's not there, but his eyes is there. Are you following me? Is the heir of all things. The Bible says God appointed him to be the heir. It's an appointment. You say, but why? That's none of your concern. God appointed him. Are you with me? So in Colossians, the Bible says to us that for it pleased the Father that in him should all, not some, in him should all the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily in him. All right, it means that the entirety of the Godhead compressed themselves into Christ. And it was pleasing. The Bible says, for it pleased the Father. It pleased the Father. And that's because he pleased the Father. Before it pleased the Father, he pleased the Father. Oh, you're not here. Are we following me? The Bible says, for it pleased the Father. But that was before he pleased Father. The Bible says, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Are we together? In whom I am well pleased. Matthew chapter 3, verse 20 or 21. Are you following me? So the Bible says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness of the Godhead be bodily. That's exactly why Jesus still remained a bodied personality, even in heaven as we speak. You are not here. What God designed is for somebody who has a body. Are you following me? The design is that we need somebody who has a body that can embody us, that can take on the totality of eternity. So that's exactly why Jesus could not go back to a spirit that he was. So that when the word became flesh, the word remained flesh. When the word became flesh, he didn't go back to become a spirit that he was. He remained a body eternally. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. He remained a man, but with the glory of God, with the possibility of God, with the totality of God. He bears that even as a bodied entity. For it pleased the Father that in him should all the fullness of the Godhead dwell bodily, not spiritually. God said that. Just manage it. See, you now see why, if they told you that, you see, your body doesn't matter, you are just saved. Your spirit is saved. So whatever you like, you can do with your body. Your body is incorporated into the system, because that body is not another body. This same body. All right? You are not here. Let me explain something to you. See, the glorified body we are talking about is still the same. Because when they went to check the body of Jesus, when they got to that sepulcher, very early in the morning, The Bible says what, that his body was no longer there. If the glorified body was another body, the body will still be there. Are you following me?
Yes, sir.
It is this body that God will still change into a glorified body. The body will only take on immortality. Are you following me? That's why he says to you that ye are the temple of the Holy Ghost. What is that ye? Your body is the one taking on the Spirit of God. Your body is giving the Spirit of God an accommodation, a place of rest. Till I find a resting place, till I find a resting place for my God. I am now the resting place, I am now the resting place of my God. I won't give sleep to my eyes,
I won't give sleep to my eyes,
I won't give rest to my soul,
I won't give rest to my soul,
till I find a resting place, till I find a resting place for my God. I won't give sleep to my eyes,
I won't give sleep to my eyes,
I won't give rest to my soul,
I won't give rest to my soul.
I am now, I am now the resting place, I am now the resting place for my God. Are we together, please? See, we are already looking at the makeup, the framework, the architecture of the man in Christ. Because if you want to really understand that architecture, you have to consult Christ. Because he is the definition of the believer's life. Are you following? Yes, of course, there's a place of supremacy. Are you following? Because the Bible calls him the heir of all things. Alright? And the Bible also called him the first begotten. Nobody can enter into that claim. Alright? Do you understand? That appellation. First. Are you following me? Of course, everything is traced back to him. Our life is traced back to him. Okay? But the producer of phone, alright, they know the first phone they produced. Before there will be mass production, right? They would have produced one that would have been tested and trusted. They will check it, the component, if it is okay. After it is ascertained that they will now mass produce, but they are aware of the first production. And in fact, most of the time, they don't sell the first production. Is that true?
Yes,
sir. Hallelujah. It's the embodiment of all the realms. Hey! Is the embodiment of all galaxies. Is the embodiment of all planets. So he went to fill all things. He went to fill all things. Let's see, we're supposed to read Hebrews 1. Whom he had appointed heir of all things. Heir of all things. How?
I don't know if we should do a bit of Bible study in that place.
Let's do the book of Galatians. This is Bible study. We don't have to rush. Are we together? I lay me aside. Let's do Galatians. We are coming back to Hebrews. Alright, we are coming back to Hebrews 1, but let's do that. Galatians chapter 4. And from verse 1, the Bible says, now I say that the heir, as long as he is a child, differeth nothing from a servant, though he be Lord of all. Hello, please. Please mark that word. This heir, as long as he is a child, the Bible says that he is not different from a servant. Though, we don't pay attention to the though. Though, the Bible says, he be Lord. Even though he is an heir, he is still a Lord. Even though he is the heir, he is still the Lord. So when the Bible says that he is made heir of all things, that means he is the Lord of all things. Let's finish this so that we can run very quickly. Verse 2, but is under tutors and governors until the time appointed of the Father. Even so we, when we were children in bondage under the element of the world, but when the fullness of the time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. Are we together? Alright, so we've been able to see, because this place explicated very well, that this man who is an heir, the only reason why he has not attained that position of lordship is because he's under tutelage, he's under tutors, under schooling, so that when the fullness of time is come, he cannot be released as a son. Let me explain to you. When God said in Matthew and chapter 3 that this is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased, there's a reason why God made that public announcement. There's a reason. Because according to Jewish custom, all right, if a father is into a venture, for example, a father is a furniture, it's one of the reasons why Jesus had to learn carpentry. If a father is into furniture, he will take his son, his firstborn son, alone in that venture. Alright? And the son will be learning it. Will be learning it until he gains mastery. Are you following me? The man does not have to die before he will now take the son. He will take that son and bring him to everyone. Take him to all the customers. That this son is now representing me. Are you following me? So it's actually like a coronation, a celebration in Israel, that the father will reveal his son that is in my stead now. So all the jobs you want to give me, give him. So God observed that same thing. Say, you see, this my son, I've coronated him. The same way that the Jewish culture, the same way they do. So if you want to know anything, just look at the son. So that was why when Philip was confused, I said, show us the father. Jesus said, you have been with us all this while and you don't know the father. He said, if you have seen me, you have seen the father. It's because there's an appointment over him. God by himself revealed him. The same way that they observe in the Jewish nation. Because when the father is going to do that, he will organize like a banquet. Open banquet. And invite people, invite his customers, his clients. I say, come. He will now reveal the son and says, this guy is in my stead now. You can trust him. You can follow him. Give him your interior jobs. He will do it well. Are you following me? That was the same thing that God was observing when he said, this is my beloved son in whom I am well pleased. Are we together, please? So he's the heir of all things. And the fact that he's the heir means that he's the Lord. The Lord of all things. That's why our gospel must reveal him, because he is the Lord of all things. Any gospel that does not reveal Christ is error. Because Christ is the circumference of all things, is the epicenter of all things. Are you following me? Christ is the embodiment of all things. That's our model. It's our matrix. Alright, so let's see his identity. In Hebrews 1, you see, we have not even entered what we intend for today. You know what I intend to be doing now? We are going to be taking chapters and do study. That's the only way we can. We'll just do Ephesians and we'll do study. Maybe by the time we'll do that for like 2 months. Hallelujah. That's why I love Rabbi Zacharias. Yes. I began with him. Rabbi is gone now, but we love him. I've never seen a topic for Rabbi's meeting. I only see the study of the book of Ephesians. You see Ephesians 1, Ephesians 2, Ephesians, there's no Christ is the Son of God on flyer. It will be Ephesians 1. And they will do the study for weeks. We are coming next week by God's grace. Hallelujah. You see, in this day, we have to do Bible study. We need stability. We need establishment. We need people to be stable in Christ. Every one of us, including myself. I'm the chief. I don't know. You think you are the one? As I'm teaching, I'm learning more. Because the Spirit of truth is ministering to me. Glory to Jesus. Alright? Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person. Who being the brightness of his glory, the express image of his person. It's not just the image, the express image of his person, the brightness of his glory. The express image of his presence. You see, the Lord is trying to bring us to a point that in keeping with this revelation, we can see that if you want to see God, alright, the only place you can see God is in Christ. Are you following me? The only place you can see God. I've not come to the believers, alright? I'm just trying to show you Christ. The only place you can see God is in who? So God is saying that this person I'm introducing to you as a voice in this day and time is the express image of my presence. The language of imagery is the language of photography. The language of resemblance, the language of likeness. Are you me? The language of similitude, so that you will not find any difference. So that you will not find any difference. Are we together? See, even if we get to heaven right now, it is Christ that you will still see. Are you saying there's no God? There's God. There's what? In that sequence, in that organogram. Of course there is. Hallelujah. The Bible says it dwelleth in light unapproachable, and it says that no man can see. Know what? The language of no man is not referencing man like us. The language there is that no created being, including angels, including 24 elders, including the four living beasts, no created thing can see. What do you think that God did a step down? What he did in Christ is step down. You know what they call step down? He had to step down his current. You know there's a step down transformer. He stepped down the current in a being. Alright? And that being has to be born by him. I don't know how to. Are you me? So that, what I'm saying is that God walked out of himself. Are you following me? God walked out of himself and stepped into time. The word became flesh and dwelt. He stepped out and dwelt in time, just so that people can relate with him. Because where he is, no man, no created thing can, they can't even think it. Your thought pattern. If you ever said to us that you saw God, it must be that you saw a form or a shape. Not that light that is unapproachable. Listen, the light is not sun. The light is not fire. The light, no mortal words can describe the light. Alright? No, those who are using physics to teach the light of the glory and all of those things. Alright? They are only trying. It cannot really be articulated. And for some who pride in, I know Greek, I know Hebrew, it's because you are not wise. That's not your pride. It's still a foreign language. You think Adam knew what was Greek or Hebrew? Are you me? The operation there was telepathy, thought relationship. That you stand like this, you are seeing eternity, you are seeing things in the spirit, and that's the language. It's not Yoruba or Igbo or Greek or Hebrew. That means even the language of man is limited. It's good you have your understanding of Hebrew and Greek, alright? It will only broaden your scope, but that's not all there is to God. How did I come here?
How did I arrive in this place?
But I'm just trying to clear the airways.
Sorry, the airways. Oh, thank you, Lord. God is beautiful. No, I say it openly that if you are not saved, you are not living. I don't know. How can you function without the God life?
I saw something in John 3:16 today that marveled me. John 3:16. Let me just stop today. Let me give expression to the Lord of things. Alright? John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. The everlasting life that Jesus used there is different from the everlasting life that Nebuchadnezzar used. The everlasting life that Nebuchadnezzar used when he said the kingdom is for everlasting, alright, talks about perpetuity, antiquity, alright. But the everlasting life that Jesus used says that without beginning, without an end, is everything. You can read it all. That's the man in Christ. You know, we have not suffered. That man in Christ only has beginning in time, but in the spirit is beginningless. Beginning and end, yes.
That which always has been, that always will be.
Who is it referring to? Anybody who receives Christ, he will have everlasting life. And he says, what's that? What?
That which always has been.
That which always has been.
And always will be.
And always will be. Yes, continue.
Without beginning. Without end.
Without end.
Never to cease.
Never to cease, yes.
Everlasting.
That the man in Christ. I saw it today. So we are beginning in time. Yes, because there was a day we were born. But in the spirit, the Bible says to us that we have been existing with God. That's exactly why when you got born again, you were born of God. You were in Him. He only beckoned you out. Following me. So the Bible says for us that can we begin the meeting for today? Let me see if I can. Jesus. I can do a bit of dissect. You see, this word, the word of God, when it begins to enter into you, it will regulate your ecosystem. You know why people will live carnally, why people will live in sin? It's because they don't know. When we begin to teach people the word of God, if you know your status in God, to even smell carnality will be far from you. Are you me? For to lie will be hard. If by mistake you now did that, there will be a are you me? There will be an unrest. That's why 1 John 3:9 says that whosoever is born of God cannot sin, for his seed is in him. For his seed is in him. The language of seed will not be well understood until you go into 1 Peter 1 and verse 23. The Bible says that those who were born not of corruptible seed, but of the incorruptible seed of the word of God, which lives and abides forever. So we are a direct protrusion, all right? A direct being, a direct offspring of the word. And that the word is, in the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God.
Wait.
In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. What are they referencing? In the beginning was the word. The word was with God, and the word was God. What are they referencing? Is it beginning of time? Alright, so the word that gave birth to you, was the word in the beginning of God, before the beginning began. So, when you said yes to Jesus, you were in Him. Alright? How can I explain? Wait, I will explain. You see Adam. Are you following me? You see Adam. Adam was a progenitor, the beginning of a race. So when they were in the Garden of Eden, there was a law guiding them called the law of headship. So that even though you were not born physically, the sin of Adam can find expression over your head. Well, if I may ask you, what did you do to partake of the sin of Adam? I didn't do anything. Oh, you are not here. You know, we have to question some things. They said, all have sinned. How? What did I do? Me, I question. What did I do? I said, all have sinned. Was I there when Adam fell? I was not there. So how come that his sin was affecting me? It's because when Adam was in Eden, we were all in him. Is what is called the law of headship. And that law is that whatever the progenitor of a race constitutes, we find expression over the race. Are you following me? That's the same way that Levi was still in the loins of Abraham, and Abraham paid tithes on his behalf, even though Levi was not born yet. Is that clear to us? So, we were all in God. The day you said yes to Jesus, He gave birth to you. What gave birth to you is not the spermatozoa of your parents, but the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And that word that lives and abides forever does not have a beginning and does not have an ending. Are you following? Okay, let's do two scriptures. Wait. Let's finish this one. Don't know where. Jesus. Let's take it together. You will spare me like 30 minutes. As in, so that we'll wrap up by 7:30. I just want to do a bit of. Who being the brightness of His glory and the express image of His person, and upholding all things by the word of His power, when He had by Himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of God. Verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels, as He had by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. For unto which of the angels said He at any time, Thou art my Son, This day have I begotten thee, and again I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son. All right, this is the language of sonship, the language of heirship. Is that true? And it's trying to say to us that angels didn't have the DNA of God. They were not born of God. All right, even though they were created by the word of God, Psalm 148 verse 5, the Bible says what that God commanded and they were created. All right, when God commanded and they were created, they were created by the spoken word of God, but it does not mean that they were born of God. All right, because they were created beings. God was not created. Are you with me? And if God was not created, he can't give birth to created beings. It's a law. The same way that a lion cannot give birth to a bird. Have you seen it before? Or you say, see, one goat delivered yesterday, and the goat delivered lizard. Are you me? You. Hallelujah. God, you give birth to your kind of person. Are you me? And you are saying, but man too was created. And you say, we were born of God. Yes, you were created. Only that at a point in time that you acknowledge Christ, you were no longer created. You were now born. Are you following me? So we left the realm of createdness into the realm of being born. Every individual on earth is created. But the day you acknowledge Jesus, something shifts. You mean? Every created being, they are under the influence of Adamic possibility. Every created being are under the influence of Adamic possibility. Alright? But by acknowledging Jesus, you left that Adamic nature and you switched into the realm of God. You are now born of God. Are you getting this very clearly? You are now born of God. God gave birth to you. All of this I'm talking to you about, they are spiritual existence. So that you don't say, yes, you are still here. You are still created in the flesh, but in the spirit, you were born. That's what I'm saying. In the spirit, you were born. Alright, so there's disparity, alright, between the angelic realm and the realm of the Son. And God is trying to show us the supremacy of the Son over angelic realm and over all created realms. Alright, it says to us that thou art my Son. That's the language of Psalms 2 and verse 7. And the language of my Son is that Jesus was begotten. Jesus was born. Are you mean? The language of begotten is that Jesus was born. And when was he born? When he died and resurrected, he became the new creation that every other new creation is patterned after. He became the first begotten amongst the brethren. He became the first fruit. And we are the lump. Are we together? Please follow me. Because I'm trying to drive somewhere. And this is the first time God was going to reference somebody as his son after resurrection. Alright? After resurrection. Remember I told you about three types of sonship in one of our meetings. Do you remember? I told us about the first sonship in Matthew 3, another sonship in 17, another Matthew 17, another sonship in Hebrews 1. Alright? But this is the dimension after resurrection. And God says that this is my, thou art my son. This day have I begotten thee. Is that true? Alright? But unfortunately, he was the only person in that category. As at this time, after resurrection, it was only Jesus that was in that category. Alright? So God put a strategy in place by which men can be drafted into the same category. Is that true? Because up until Jesus died and resurrected, nobody was called the Son of God. Nobody. Nobody. If you see those phrase or appellation, it's not that what is referencing. Alright, it's another thing entirely. Because in scripture you see that angels were called sons of God. Alright? They were called sons of God in their order. Not in the order. Because, listen, every created spirit have their kind of life. There's the life of the living soul. There's the life that powers the angelic realm. Alright? But when it comes to Zoe is the life that powers the man in Christ. It's the life that saturates his existence. The same way God has it is the same way the believer has it. Are you following me? This is exactly why created beings were trying to look into the possibility of this man. And they said, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? Thou made him a little lower than the Elohim. Than the Elohim. The language there is angel, but it's Elohim. Are you following me? In 1 Peter 1 and verse 12 or so, the Bible says that angels, they desire to look into these things. They desire, it was their desire. They don't know. They don't know salvation. They don't know the God life. See, angels, let me tell you something. Maybe I should clear our doubts. The angels are not all knowing. No. The fact that they appear to people and tell them, they receive instruction. And you cannot ask an angel details about scriptures, and the angel will explain to you if he's not told. Angels, they do the biddings of the Father. They acting unto the voice of his word. Are you following me? So they don't know. But there's something about the man in Christ. But even though the man does not know, that he knows, is a possibility in him. We have the spirit of the Holy One, and we know all things. Are we together? Alright, so other entities needed to be drafted into this category of sonship. Alright? So there's a strategy that the Lord put in place, and the strategy is that John chapter 1. Let's do John chapter 1. John chapter 1. John chapter 1. Alright, for context purpose, let's do verse 11 and 12 and 13. The Bible says, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Wait, I need you to get this context. His own means that he came to the Jews. Alright, let's get it. This is referencing his own, the Jews. Are you aware? He came unto his own, and his own received him not. But as many as received him, to them he gave power to become the sons of God. Alright? But even though he came onto his own, this passage is generic. Alright? But contextually, you are not aware. Are you aware? Let me make a bit of clarity. A woman came to Jesus, alright, a Syrophoenician woman, and said to Jesus, he said, there's something wrong right now, and you need to come to my aid. And Jesus said that, he said, it is not meet for us to give the food of sons to strangers, alright? What is he saying? And the woman said that even strangers, they eat from the crumbs. Jesus is saying to her that I'm not sent to you according to my ordination. Alright? But because of the pestering, the tenacity of that lady, she received a request. But in the real sense, Jesus was sent to the covenant people, to the Jews. Are you following me? Can I explain better? Let me go to that. Where Jesus was going to fulfill the conglomeration or the synergy between the Jews and the Gentiles was on the cross. Alright? It was there that he made both one. Can we do Ephesians 2? Let's read Ephesians 2. I just need people to understand, you know, because of mixed brethren. Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians chapter 2. Alright, let's do verse 13. But now in Christ Jesus, ye who sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. For he is our peace, who had made both one, and had broken down the middle wall of partition between us, all right, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, even the law of commandment contained in ordinances, for to make himself of twain one new man. This is the Jews and the Gentiles, all right. He has made both one new man in Christ. Let me finish up and I will explain. So, making peace, and that he might reconcile both unto God in one body. By what? By the cross. Are you seeing that? By the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which we are far off, and to them that we are nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore, this is in context talking to the Jews, the Gentiles. Now therefore, ye are no more foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God. Alright? You see, there was discrimination and disparity between the Jews and the Gentiles. And the Jews believe that they are the only one that God came for. Alright, that's exactly why in John chapter 4, when Jesus walked up to that woman at the well, alright, and says, give me to drink, the Samaritan woman. The woman says, what's the relationship between us? There's no relationship between the Jews and the Samaritan. It's because there has been a middle wall of partition that they don't operate together. Alright, but there was a mystery that God put in place to draft them in. I don't want to go into Romans, alright, so that we can see that God drafted them in, alright, so that they will no longer be the only one who have access to the possibility of God, alright, they will no longer be strangers and foreigners from the commonwealth of Zion. Prior to this time, they were not in any way do you remember when Paul was apprehended? Alright, when he was told by Prophet Agabus not to go to Jerusalem. Is that true? Don't forget that in Acts chapter 10,
just calm down.
In Acts chapter 10, the Bible says for us that God was bringing Peter into that ministry of the Gentiles. But Peter said, not so, Lord. Is that true? So the ministry was changed, and the ministry of the Gentiles was given to Apostle Paul. Alright? And Peter went to the Jews. Is that true? So in Acts, is it 20 or 21? Agabus said that the man who owns this Gedru, he will be tied and all of those things. And Paul said, I'm not only willing to be tied, but I'm also willing to die for the sake of the gospel. Is that true? So when Paul entered into Jerusalem and they saw him in the temple, the very first thing that they apprehended him, and they took him before the judge. Alright? And before they started to talk at him and all, he said to them, give me audience. And he began to preach about his encounter. He narrated Acts chapter 9, how that he was going, is it 9 or 8? How that he was going on to Damascus to exterminate Christians or persecute them. And he met Jesus. Jesus says, Saul, why persecute thou my people? He narrated all of those things unto them. They didn't have any issue. They waited. When he was saying all of those things, they didn't have any issue. But the moment he mentioned that Christ said to him that he should go unto the Jewish nation, unto the Gentile nation, the Bible says that they began to rage. This sermon took time, and they waited patiently to hear Paul. They waited to hear his sermon. But the moment he mentioned that Christ spoke to him to go unto the Gentiles, they said, take him away. Because they didn't want to hear that. They believe that it's an abomination for you to have relationship with the Gentiles as Jews. Are you following me? So it's what Christ came to do. Christ came to break down that middle wall of partition that was against us. Alright? He made both one. He said they were twin, they were two, but he made them one in cross, and that was achieved by the cross. So saying that he came onto his own here, contextually, is the Jews. Alright? But it's also generic. So that when you give your life to Jesus, the same thing that happens here will happen to you. Is that true? John chapter 1, let's do it again. I hope it's clear to us. Alright, but as many as received him, to them gave he power, that power there is right, to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name, which were born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. You see, this one is not my emphasis yet, but my emphasis is the fact that as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons. Before, it was only Jesus. Thou art my son, and this day have I begotten thee. Is that true? But now, because he wants to draft others in, he says, as many as received him, to them gave he power to become, in its pluralities, sons of God. Sons of God. So, these sons of God, wait, can I tell you the meaning of sons of God? It's simple. If you hear the language of the language sons of God or son of God, it means that you were born of God. Are you following me? You were born of God. That's the meaning. The Jews, they know Alright? That's why you see that they were casting aspersion and stones against Jesus. Because there were things he was calling himself. I said, there's something wrong with you. Are you with? So, to explain these sons of God better, it continued in verse 13, that we were born not of blood, not of flesh, not of the will of man, but of God. This is the this is the metamorphosis that happened. Up until the time that you were born of God, you were a created being under the influence of Adam. But the moment you became born of God, you became begotten. All right? You now entered into the God class. Are you following me? We are now in the company of the God class. Even though we are still in time. Alright? And the reason why we are still in time is because there is a body holding us to this realm. And this body holding us to this realm is important in this realm to give expression to the God that we are in the spirit. Are you following me? I was saying to some persons, the word of the spirit is not far. The word of the spirit is here now. Are you following me? If your spirit leaves your body right now, where you will find yourself is in the spirit. That means the only thing caging the spirit is this body. Alright? But because we are still in this time, this body is needed to prosecute the agenda of God. So the design of the man of God, the architecture of the man in Christ is that man relies perpetually on the God life to give him expression in this place, because he has now been drafted into the same economy of the Son. It was only the Son before, but now we are now the sons of God. Romans 8. Alemoko pose fahandesh. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8. Romans 8. Are we there, please? Online community, are you following us, please? Romans chapter 8. Let's do verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Hello, sir. For whom he did foreknow. Foreknow. For means that before. For whom he did foreknow, pre is also before, right? He predestinate. Alright? That means there's a pre and there's a destination. That means there's a before and there is the end. So before you even arrive at the end, he knows you. He predestinates, and this predestinate is that you be conformed, not conforming. Let's read Bible. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed. Past tense. To be conformed. Hello? To be conformed to the image of his son, that he might be firstborn among many brethren. Among many brethren. He is the firstborn. There's no secondborn. There's no thirdborn. What the Bible calls us is many brethren. Alright? Hebrews says that he's not ashamed to call them brothers. Alright? So that the same way that Christ is giving God expression. Now that we are conformed to that image, we ought also to give expression to God, to Christ in this time. Alright? Now that we know our architecture, our design is patterned after Him. Alright? And this partnering, or this pattern, alright, is so that when you see Christ, you will see Christ. Are you me? As we speak right now, Christ is no longer here. Are you following me? The only way that men can lay hold on Christ is through men. The only way that Christ can be visible is through men. So the man in Christ gives men the visibility of Christ. The man in Christ makes Christ visible. Are you following me? That's why you see that if our life is contrary to that which is of Christ, men will talk us down. Men will not honor Christ in our life because they are seeing another entity as against what was proclaimed. Are you following me? Let me show. I said I wanted to show us two scriptures the other time. Let's do those scriptures. I just want to clear this birth stuff. Alright, we've been able to see that our birth is through God. Alright? You see, this revelation is supposed to be that which we take with all seriousness. Alright? It should make us go haywire. That I am born of God. That the life in me is Zoe, the God life. The life in animals is not Zoe. Alright? It's not. So you are a kind of being, a kind of species that the jealousy of God is regulating. That God gave birth to a man. Do you know what that means? That you are the offspring of immortality. That you are the offspring of heaven. That we are looking for what should give birth to you. Alright? And we couldn't find anything other than God. Do you know what that means? That you carry the DNA of heaven. The DNA. So that all that God represents. Alright? As a man in time, you can give expression to it. Let's do James. And the scripture I quoted the other time. Let's do James 1 also. James 1. James 1 and verse 18. James 1 and verse 18. The Bible says, of his own will. Alright? Notice it says, of his own will. It was his will. Amen? You didn't compel him. It was his will. Of his own will begat he us. Alright? Of his own will begat he us with what? The word of truth. That we should be a kind of first fruit of his creatures. Of his own will begat he us. How? By the word of truth. By the word of truth. Of his own will begat he us by the word. Alright, so let's do the other one so I can give expression to what is my spirit. Let's do first Peter. We just take a glide from that place. Sofana proposta handesh. First Peter. Hey. Thank you, Holy Spirit. First Peter 1. Verse 23. Yeah. The Bible says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Alright? Being born again. Number one, James 1:18. Of his own will begat he us, right? By the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruit of his creature. And this one says that, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abides forever. Can I show you what is happening here? How was Jesus giving birth to you? Jesus was not giving birth to you by the spermatozoa or his spirit. Alright? When the angel came to Mary and he began to speak, Mary said, I don't want to go into detail. Mary said, be it unto me, right, according to your word. Alright? So immediately that word gave birth to Jesus. That word was what birthed Jesus. The word of God. Alright? Are you following me? The word, the proceeding word of God. And listen to me, the word of God is God. In the beginning was the word was with God, the word was God. So it was not spermatozoa that gave birth to Jesus, it was the word. So when you got born again, that's why, if you say you are born again and you have not spoken, because it is the word that you speak that gave birth, that brought you into that economy. That's why Romans 10 and verse 9 says that, if thou shalt believe with your heart and shalt confess with your mouth, shall confess, it is because it is that word that you release that brings you into that economy. It was word that gave birth to Jesus. It is only word that can give birth to you. If you say my born again experience is in me, it's in me, it's a lie, it's not in you. It has to be by the word. Word must give birth to you, and word is God. They are synonymous, they are the same. It means that when you got born again, God entered into you. God became your essence. God became your life. You were bearing God wherever you go, because word gave birth to you. Are you following me? We've got to understand who we are. This is the architecture of the man in Christ. That this man is a product of word. Is a product of God. So all along, what Jesus was trying to introduce us into is this original birth. Can I speak to you? Can I speak to you? This is exactly why Adam and Eve didn't give birth in the garden. Because giving birth is not supposed to be by mating. The original design of giving birth by God is the world. Is the world. They have not arrived into the realm of that world. That's why they didn't give birth. What God designed as a way of procreating is by his word. By his word. If Adam didn't fall, he will still give birth. But not the way we are giving birth now. I don't want to enter into... Are you me? The way you are giving birth now is still a product of the fall. There's the original way of giving birth. That was what God came to exemplify. That is by the world, the world, the world, the world, the world. That's exactly why their age too, we are not counting. It's because if you give birth by the world, you don't have age. Because the world we are talking about has the beginning in God. Alright? I hope we understand what I'm saying. You see, we don't know who we are. That's why we are living anyhow. And that's also why your words are not potent. It's because you don't know the origin. You don't know how you were fabricated. You don't know your architect. When you understand it, are you following? Are we still online? Okay. Jesus' birth was not by the corruptible seed. That your father and mother mating together was corruption. That's exactly how sin was passed into you. Because that spermatozoa is a corruptible seed. So it was a corruptible seed that was inserted into the woman. That's why Job said, who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? So that's not the original way. It's supposed to be by the word. In fact, you don't even want to know the configuration of Adam. Not to talk of mating in that light. Amen? The configuration before the fall didn't permit all of this. Hallelujah. Amen. It didn't permit all of those errors. God intends that man I was saying to us one time that you know that if Adam didn't fall, he would be the one on the throne. Are you aware? He would be the one on the throne. But what God intends was still supposed to be achieved by Adam. As long as it was Adam who started it, it's also Adam that will fulfill it. So when Jesus came, the way he was introduced to us is the last Adam. It's not the last Christ. It says the last Adam. So I don't want to go into some things. Because even the Bible says to us that the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. And the last Adam was also made a quickening spirit. Was made. Not was born. Don't worry. So it was made. First Adam was made a living soul. The last Adam was also made a quickening spirit. Can you bless him? The covenant, so I said it was going to be. You see, we've got to understand our makeup. You see, this is what we call new creation reality. This is new creation reality. This is identity. That a man in time can be born of God. That a man in time can be procreated, all right? That God can walk into him. And why God walked into him, God can find expression through him. God can find expression through him. When you know this, you will run away from sin. I'm serious. This is the gospel. This is what we should reveal. When you know your makeup, how you will form, you will run. Sin will be far from your corridors because you were born of God, and the face of God cannot behold iniquity, cannot behold sin. First John 3:9. Akobe seneo sabananande. Sinanero kofana madea. Saike manane kofana ni sadapala kebu. Akiriki bunusae. Akikunu baladae kofana ni osefaneo. Akiri kofana kaleko. Agibini basofina matire adikiri musofala ne adekelo kofani okero sokobe kalabaena asabaliki bunubambe kikiri ibu aleke kofanamo saikiri giri kuramo yate adina malekiko adenele kepo nabae ikikiriku asidini nukubili kabana nieko adiala agabadiki kabanande kaliadarose ekinisa abikini na kabome safana mande iae okebe masade ulalae masade idi kabo musole agina le safa anine ko belisae adikili ale akobele kamba kome nana makambo akobele masaite ikina momoko sae akina mako abosa ilaba mako akete tebo ibi alade sababa bayande yale kome somina ko babo bailo ita to kombe kobele akunaba kuba shakombe. I am born of God. I am born of God. I am born of of sinlessness. I am born of eternity. I am born of immortality. If you are used to that revelation, you don't know God. Whatsoever is born of God does not continue to sin, for his seed remains in him. Please listen to me a bit. Please look unto me. Sorry, the Bible says look unto Jesus. But this one, not in the Bible, as in this place, just look unto me. Let me read this scripture. Whosoever, 1 John 3:9, whosoever is born of God does not commit sin. Originally it means that does not continue in sin. Hear why? For his seed. Wait, what that is? His seed. Now, this is comparison between two seeds. In 1 Peter 1:23. He told us that there's an incorruptible seed. And as long as this incorruptible seed enters a place, there will be corruption. Are you following me? Corruptible seed. As long as the corruptible seed enters a place, there will be corruption. But here is introduction to the seed of God, not the seed of a man. That means the same thing that the seed of a man will do. Alright? The seed of God, we also do the same, but in contrary dimension. Because the seed of a man will bring corruption, but the seed of God will bring incorruption. So actually, what entered into you when you got born again is incorruption. So if you know, you can't be corrupt. That's exactly why he said that person cannot continue in sin. Why? Because it is the seed of God that is in him. If the seed of a man enters a woman, all right? According to Adam, it will bring corruption. But if the seed of God enters into you at your born again level, it will bring incorruptibility. Incorruptibility. It makes you start. What is locked up on your inside is incorruption. What is locked up on your inside is celestial, is eternal. All right? Is the life of God. So because of that life, it does not give way or right of way for error. It does not give the right of way for living carelessly. It does not give the right of way for living in sin. Because the seed that you carry on your inside negates that error. The economy of life that is within you negates the error of living carelessly. All right? What is factored within you, the civilization of God within you, is supposed to bring to a point of incorruptibility, because that is what is put into you. Now, as I'm talking, this is deliverance for somebody. This is what we call deliverance service. Amen. Somebody who has 22 demons, when you hear this kind of message, you can't go back home with it. Because as they are hearing, they will be leaving one by one. This one now knows we can't stay here again. The reason why they are staying is because you don't know. You are not here. Because you see, you can fast 7 days dry and roll on the floor, and they told you that they left, but they are waiting for you at the door. What we call deliverance is we preach deliverance. That's what Jesus taught us. That you preach deliverance. See. If they told you that you have demon, just saturate yourself under the word. You will know when that nonsense. Except if you are not born again, of course you can accommodate demon within you. But no born again person can accommodate demon within them, because there's another occupant. And that occupant does not give the right of way for any external infiltration. Alright? Because there's a seed on your inside called the seed of God. Alright? So the Bible says to us that for his seed remained in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. He is born. I don't know how we can understand this message. Do we understand? Do we? That you are born of God. You know our issue. I'll begin to wrap up. I'm sorry. You know our issue is that we are so used to carnal environment. And you know why? Because they told you that you are the exact replica of your father. No, they made a mistake. That's not the real father. It's a foster father. There's somebody that I look like. The person that I look like is not in time. Amen? Is that where? In time. The person that I look like. You see, are you denying your father? If it is for Christ, I can. Because even Jesus said it to the Father's face. That is it. There's nothing wrong with you. Don't you know about my father's business? Jesus was saying to Joseph invariably that you are not my father. Because somebody says it's your father. They came to look for you after 3 days. They met you in the temple. And you were saying to your father that, don't you know that I'm about my great father again? Is it not supposed to be your father? So he's saying that, you see, you are just the foster father, the manager. There's somebody that gave birth to me in the real sense. The person. Who is that? Oh no, yeah. Oh, Jack, no, yeah, Jack. Amen. In other words, that you are just like your mother. You look after your mother. Amen. So those things entered your head. They entered your head. Tell me, yeah. There's somebody that you look like, and that person is who? It's Jesus. See, you better start taking your bearing from him. Else, some of the errors that your parents bumped into, you will repeat them. Are you with me? Let me say something. Hope you are aware. Huh? Are you going to understand this? Hope you are aware that blessings and curses, they are ongoing. Right? So if they say something is running in a family and you got born again, you broke away from it. If there's another sibling of yours, the fact that you broke it does not mean that that one will break it. If that one is not born again, that thing will repeat itself over that one. What the only thing that happened is that you broke out of it because of your new economy. It's still so. It means that they work for or against you based on your alignment. So, are you me? They work for or against you based on your alignment. That's why you see some Christians that they are still under curse, as it were, which is wrong. Which is wrong. But they don't understand alignment. Do we understand? Do we understand it? Oh, thank you, Holy Spirit. Let's See, the gospel is awesome. The gospel of Christ is. You can't get this from shrine. Our bodies cannot offer you this one. Some people check their arm, their wrist, their body. You will see incision everywhere. And if that's said, it's against death. But anytime death comes, why don't you did it against death? Why did you die? I thought some of them will never be sick. Sir, you can't get it from trying. Shrine can convert things for you. Huh? Are we still online? Okay. Hallelujah. Can we bless Jesus? Let's learn it. God is amazing. Rule over this land. Rule over your church. Rule over our realm.
Let only you be seen, Yahweh, you be praised.
to be born of God has been the plan of God from the foundation of the world. In Cilicia, the Bible says this man was born there. This man was born there, Zion, in Zion. This man was born. So even in the book of Psalms, I guess it's the same also, that was captured. That this man was born. It's about birth. It's about birth. It's a mystery in God by which we can lay hold on the possibility of God. Because if you are not born of God, you cannot lay hold on the possibilities of God. If you are not born of God, you can't be like God. You can't look like God. And that's the architecture, the design, the framework of the man in Christ. Father, we thank you for tonight. It's our desire that this world will be amplified in the heart of the recipients. And it will change our life forever. We will flow alongside your pathway. In the name of the Lord Jesus. This world will be unliving. This world will bring us into rest in God. Thank you, precious Father.
Thank God.
And if you are not born again and you are here, you are listening to this word, know very surely that you cannot partake of the God life if you do not receive Jesus. If you are not born again, open up your heart, because this world is going to birth you up. It's going to birth you. It's going to give birth to you. Believe in your heart and confess to your mouth the Lord Jesus. Wherever you are, believe in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. Believe that he is God. He's God. He is. He's not just one of the prophets. He is God. If you check the grave of everyone right now, you still meet their bodies, or at least their skeleton. But if you go check the grave of Jesus, it's empty, because the King of Glory has risen. He has risen. That happened based on the judicial system of God. Hope you are aware that the resurrection of Jesus was as a result of the judicial system of God. Because God is a God of justice. And because Jesus didn't do anything to deserve that, God had to employ his judiciary to bring him out of the grave. You understand it? Everyone were held in the grave before him. Alright? But they didn't have the legal system to get out of that place. Alright? But Jesus was not born of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible seed. There was no occasion to nail him. There was no occasion to crucify him. So the justice system of God ensures that he comes out of the grave. And that was the way God repaid Jesus. Do you understand that? The way God repaid Jesus was by that reality, that resurrection. So when the Bible says, vengeance is mine, I will repay it. The repay is not primary or maximal, even though it will be wow, towards your enemy. But it's that, don't worry, I will repay you for all that you suffered. It is about you. Vengeance is mine, don't worry. You just keep doing good, just being well. I will repay. So the way God repaid Jesus was by resurrection. Because he was not guilty. There was no occasion for them to kneel. He only took upon himself the sins of the whole world. He was not sinful. He who knew no sin became sin, that we through him might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. So he was not sinful. He only took it upon himself. So you cannot adjure him. You cannot nail him because he was not sinful. Do you understand? Hallelujah. All right. God bless everyone tonight. Thank you for hanging out with the Lord. Thank you for giving us a space in your space. Shalom, shalom.